Current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
I remember back in January when it was starting 2020, the common theme we were hearing was, oh, it's a year of fresh vision. And, you know, obviously, you know, 2020 obviously represents perfect eyesight. And that's what we were hoping for as we were starting this year. And this summer had some interesting twists and turns that God had some other plans that he's been working us through as churches and as Christians. And we're actually talking with Brandon Cagle, who's one of the pastors over at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. How are you today, Brandon?
Oh, I'm doing good. Resonating already with what you're saying. In fact, that was kind of the theme of for us this year, 2020, and as I'm sure it was with many churches.
Brandon, you lead the evangelism team at Calvary Chapel, and obviously with the unusual events of this summer, and there was a lot of needs for mass testing for COVID-19, and your team was part of a collective that said, hey, we can meet some of those needs. Yeah, there's challenges, but we see opportunities to reach people and to serve our city. It's kept you busy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's always a controversial thing. Some people, you know, didn't agree with it. We just saw it as an opportunity to meet people right where they're at, help out our city, and then use it as an opportunity to minister the gospel. So, well, not only did we provide testing, but, you know, they're at their most vulnerable stage. And so as they would drive through, we would offer them prayer, give them a Bible. And it was great. I mean, we saw, I can't tell you how many people we saw break down in tears. And, you know, they're just at a place where they're probably, you know, seeking God more now than ever.
Hey, you passed out a lot of Bibles this summer, huh, Brandon?
Yeah, we did. I estimated we passed out somewhere upwards of 7,000 Bibles. We actually, at one point, we were standing on Buffalo and Russell, which is kind of a busy neighborhood intersection. So people have to stop at the stop sign. So we had a sign that just said free Bibles. They would make the decision whether they wanted to roll down their window or not. We started averaging about 120 Bibles a day. People were rolling down their windows and taking them in their car. So it was awesome.
We're talking about how where there's challenges, there's always opportunities on the other side of it. And we're talking with Brandon Cagle, who's one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. And this summer has been interesting. And now that we're starting the school year and we're looking to fall, this is usually the season where most churches are really ramping up their activities once school starts and family schedules shift. And some churches have kind of dialed it down, doing a lot of the online learning and Zoom small groups and things. But Brandon, where have you seen the needs really arise? Rising this summer?
I think the biggest need, as is always, is the soul need, right? Like, we need Christ. And I think in moments of crisis, those needs become more pronounced. So we've seen it as even a greater opportunity to meet people right where they're at. And, you know, just to be maybe a little more specific, I think people are concerned about their finances. You know, they're concerned about their future. Well, we know the God who holds our future. People are concerned about their health. Well, we know the God who is a healer. People are concerned, you know, marriages are struggling as people are stuck inside their homes. And we know the God who restores marriages. So again, these issues, maybe they've always been an issue where maybe people feel like they had control of their future, but deep down inside, they weren't trusting Jesus with their future. And now that issue has come to the surface. And so we've seen it as an opportunity to really bring healing where maybe people didn't realize they needed healing before. And of course, that is only found in Christ.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we've all had friends that have been texting us or reaching out and just saying, you know what, I'm having a tough time, or I'm really stressed out dealing with the schedules at work and online school, and my marriage has been a challenge as we've been home like 24/7 for 5 months and kids bouncing off the walls. And when you get to that place where people are saying, I need help, but they're not connecting the dots and you want to share your faith with them, where do we start, Brandon, where we can take those open doors and say, hey, there's something deeper here. And there's a spiritual need that maybe you haven't considered.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, I just recently did an evangelism video, and I was encouraging people in Acts chapter 14, Paul, he's ministering to pagans. These are people who believe that, you know, that there is a God, or maybe there's a plethora of gods, but they don't believe in the one and only God. And what I see in Acts chapter 14 is that Paul sways them by telling them that they've experienced God's goodness. He says, hey, listen, God has given rain in its season. He has filled your hearts with joy as he's made your crops plentiful. And that's the goodness of God. And so I think all of us have kind of a leeway into people's lives in that all of us have experienced God's goodness. We may not just have attributed that goodness to God. Kind of a side note, but I was watching a show on Netflix where People were stranded in the middle of the forest, and right when they feel like their hunger was about to give way, you know, maybe they caught some prey and they were able to eat that night. And I just thought to myself, you know, with Acts chapter 14 in mind, I thought to myself, do these people realize that that was God providing for them? And so I think a great leeway into people's lives is pointing out the goodness of God in their lives and then showing them in the scriptures that that's God looking out for them. You know, even the people in the worst situations of life, they're here today and they have a story to tell. And that's because God has preserved them regardless of what it is that they've been through. His goodness is still evident. And so again, showing people that God is good, showing people how they've experienced the goodness of God, and then leading them to the scriptures that show them that that was Christ, that Christ has been with them, if they would just acknowledge that and turn to him.
We're talking with Brandon Cagle, who's one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel Las Vegas. And he leads the evangelism department and does a lot of spiritual development with the church community. And Brandon, you're actually leading a class to teach people about how to share their story. It's an evangelism class. And a lot of times you think like, oh, evangelism, I don't know if I have that gift. I don't know where to start. I'm not trying to convince someone to do something they don't want to do. I just want to share my story. What have you noticed about evangelism as you've really studied how to share our faith and make connection with people that are struggling?
You know, this has actually become a real passion of mine, not just because I'm an evangelist, but, you know, sometimes you go online and you watch these videos and everyone is an atheist. Everyone knows more about God than you do. They know more about the Bible than you do. And as much as these videos are meant to be an encouragement, I think in many ways they can be a discouragement. In that, man, we think, well, I'm not as smart as that guy who's preaching the gospel, and these people are straight savages, right? And I'm afraid to go out there and share because I won't know what I'm talking about. And, you know, Scott, I just want to be honest. That has not been my experience in the last 21 years of evangelism. In fact, I would say it's the exact opposite. Most people are aware of God. Even the atheists that you talk to, you'll find out often, more times than not, that they grew up in a Christian household, that a lot of people do have underlying beliefs. And let me just say this, and a lot of people are really willing to talk about their faith. And when I say faith, I mean what it is they may or may not believe. And they enjoy the hard questions. So sometimes I'll just jump right in and I'll say, hey, do you go to church? Hey, are you a believer? And I'll tell you what, 9 times out of 10, and probably even a greater percentage than that, the responses that I get are people are willing to talk. They're willing to have the conversation. And I would even say they're grateful that somebody was bold enough to ask them some of these hard questions. So, you know, without being too wordy, I would just say to the listener, you know, don't be discouraged by thinking, oh man, I'm just going to get destroyed. You know, will you have some of those hard conversations sometimes? Yeah, absolutely you will. But most of the time, most people are willing to talk about God and are grateful when somebody's bold enough to bring it up.
So Brandon, you're actually doing a class talking about how to share your faith at Calvary Chapel Las Vegas coming up on the 16th.
Yeah, absolutely. So the class is going to cover things like what is the fundamental purpose of evangelism? What about those who have never heard the gospel? How do you witness to people who already think that they're saved? How do I share my testimony? How do we pray for the lost? How do I prove that Jesus is God? Just very simple topics. It's not necessarily telling people what to say and how to say it, but just, you know, undergirding them with the gospel so that they can stand confidently when they are speaking and then just trusting that God will give them the words in that moment. So it's a 7-week class, 2 hours, very interactive. If you happen to be in Las Vegas, it's September 16th, and I believe it's on the SOS calendar, so people can go there and get more information.
Yeah. What's your website, Brandon?
Website is cclasvegas.org/online.
We're talking about how we share our story and we bring people to faith in Jesus. I know it feels like a big topic when you think about sharing your faith, evangelism. We use big churchy words like testimony, but essentially a testimony is just my story. This is who I was, then God stepped in. And we're actually talking about that with Brandon Cagle. He leads the evangelism department at Calvary Chapel Las Vegas. You're doing a class where we're going to be talking about techniques to share our faith. And we're going to talk about how we go deeper and how we articulate what we believe and how we actually share our story. And Brandon, I know you actually were working in the music world and you were living in Phoenix and you were doing hip hop and you were working with a lot of people before you were working in a church. And tell us your story and explain how you do that with, hey, this is who I was. This is what I cared about. Then God stepped in and he changed my heart. And here we are now.
Yeah. Let me just start off with the last thing you said, and I'll go back. So I think what you just said is key. People often ask, or they want to know, what's the difference between you and me? So you have a desire to do good. I have a desire to do good. I don't have Jesus. Maybe I don't need Jesus. So what's the difference between you and me? And I think what you just pinpointed on is, well, the fundamental difference between a believer who professes Christ and someone who doesn't is that we've had a change of heart. There was a difference. Beyond just having a desire to do good, we now have a desire to obey the word of God, to glorify Christ in all that we do. And that wasn't the case before. You know, maybe we were good people. That was not the case for me. But when I say good people, I mean, you know, maybe we fed the homeless. Maybe we were a part of good activities in society. But nevertheless, our sole purpose was not to glorify Christ. Our sole purpose wasn't to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. We didn't do it in a heart of gratitude for what we saw accomplished on the cross, that God saved us while we were yet sinners. We simply did it because we thought it was the right thing to do. We lived according to our own knowledge. And the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to death. Ultimately, we were void of God, we were void of the knowledge of God, and we really had no desire to give him honor or praise. I said that to say that when you share the gospel, that has to be seen. There was a change of heart, because that's what Ezekiel 36 says. I'll take out the heart of stone, I'll give you a heart of flesh, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my commands and do them. So the difference is I've had a heart change. So what happened for me is I grew up, wasn't a believer, didn't grow up in church, got involved in drugs, actually lost my mother to suicide at the age of 16, eventually lost my brother to drug addiction years later. And in that process, I had dropped out of high school and just was headed down the wrong way fast. My wife now of over 21 years, praise God, I was 16 at the time. I think she was about 15, and we start dating, and her mom buys me a Bible. So I didn't have any knowledge of Jesus, but here I am, and if I could say quite frankly, I was doing drugs, reading the Bible, and God ended up meeting me right where I was at. long story short, I ended up giving my life to Jesus, got clean and sober. God changed me from the inside out, and I always had a love for hip-hop music, so as you stated, I now began to, instead of rapping about the things of the world, I started rapping about Jesus Christ and what he had done in my life. And that has now carried me, you know, into the next season of my life where I got planted at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, and actually came here because I was invited to rap. And this became my home church. And now I pastor here as an evangelism pastor.
Well, if you want to check out Brandon's music, you can check out The Rep on Spotify and all your, all your digital outlets. If you want to know a little more of that story, Brad is actually going to be teaching a class about how we share our faith. We'll call it an evangelism class. And you actually did this a while back in conjunction with another church, and you put it out there, and you put it together in some curriculum, and you had more people respond to it than you ever thought would want to respond to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's always garnered a pretty good response here at our church, but when we did it at another church, and if I could say quite frankly, it was a Faith Lutheran Community Church. And, you know, so some of the doctrines vary a little bit, but we came together on this basis that we both believe in Christ as the Son of God and resurrected, and that he's the only way to the Father. And so we just said, hey, let's partner together. The goal at the end of the day is to unite in Christ and to share the gospel. And so I taught it at their church, and a lot of people showed up. It was a blessing and just a testimony to the fact that at the end of the day, we're founded on Christ. Doesn't matter what church, what denomination, as long as Christ is the center, that he is God, and that he is the only way to salvation, that his blood is the forgiveness of our sins. And so it was great.
We're talking to Brandon Cagle. He's one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, and he's doing an evangelism class, and we've been talking about how we share our faith and who we were. Then God stepped in, how he changed our heart. Essentially, it's sharing our story and then sharing, essentially, with that, what our faith actually is in Jesus. And Brandon, it's really interesting because there's a lot of people that come from different religious backgrounds, and a lot of people think they know God. And they think they've had an encounter with Jesus at some point in their life, but he's not really the center of their life. He was just a part of their life. Or Jesus used to play some sort of role in their life, but today they haven't been living that way for 10 years. And a lot of times when we're trying to talk to someone who has a little different belief, the best thing we can do is ask them questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is one of the hidden gems of evangelism is asking questions. You know, and when I say asking questions, I mean starting off with the basic questions, right? So when I get into a conversation, I'll usually ask, hey, where are you from? You know, here's something to note. All people love talking about themselves. And so very rarely will you ask someone a question about themselves that they don't have a desire to engage in. And so you say, hey, where are you from? Oh, okay. What's that city like? Or maybe they're from your city. I always ask them, do you enjoy living here? And oftentimes they'll start talking about the things that they enjoy. And so now you're building a rapport with them. They know that you care for them. You're interested in them. And like I said, sometimes I'll just jump in with the hard question. Hey, do you go to church here? Are you a believer? And again, this gives them an opportunity to talk about what they believe. I very rarely ever get shut down. Usually people enjoy having those conversations. And then just one question after another, they tell you what they believe. It might be very contrary to the gospel. Oh, okay, well, why do you believe that? And the more that they expose about themselves, the more you are able to find out where the gospel fits into their life story, their narrative of where they're at now. Because ultimately, God brought them to this point, to this conversation with you that they might hear the gospel. By the way, that can be proven in Acts chapter 17. The scripture says that he ordained the boundaries of our lives and the times in which we would be born, and he did this that all men might somehow grope for him and find him. So I look at every person I talk to as a divine encounter that God brought them to this moment in their life to hear the gospel from me. So
yeah, and it's interesting, too, because when you're actually approaching this with a heart to serve and a heart to listen and a heart to get to know someone, you're not trying to convince them of anything. You're sharing and you're asking questions. And even if you're talking to someone that has very different belief than you do, you say, okay, well, what do you believe about Jesus? And what led you to that conclusion about Jesus? And then they explain something, and then you say, okay, that's a little off. That's not doctrinally sound based on what the Bible says. And you don't want to say, hey, you're wrong right away. What you're really trying to say is, hey, let me show you what Jesus said about himself. Here's what he said in Luke. Here's what he said in the Gospel of John. Or when someone says, oh, I believe this about Satan. I believe this about, you know, the church's role in baptism and blah, 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 blah from my past. And maybe that doesn't really align with what the Bible actually teaches. You can open up the Bible and say, well, here's what God said about that. And here's how God reveals himself. This is a little different than maybe what you were taught. What do you think about this? And we can talk through those things by asking questions and allowing people to share where they're at. And you say, well, here's what I've learned, and here's what I've learned from experience. And then here's what Jesus actually said about that. And when he was quoting this in Luke, in John, in Matthew, like, it's recording exactly what Jesus said. So I'm going to go to the source right here. And then you can kind of correct some of those things without doing it in any sort of like threatening or hostile way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you're sharing that, first of all, you're speaking like a true evangelist. And there's two things that I hear. Number one is that you're right. It's not our job to convince anybody. I can't convince anybody. And woe is me if I think that I have the power and the authority to do that. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit can do that. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Holy Spirit convicts people, not me. You know, all I can do is bring them to the truth. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so my job is just to simply share people the truth. And that, Scott, what that really does for me is it takes the pressure off. Because I used to argue with people. I used to try to force people into the kingdom. And all that did was put a bad taste in their mouth because I tried to take control of the conversation And I thought that it was my job to push them into heaven. And nobody wants to be pushed anywhere, right? And so now I'm able to say to myself, you know what, Brandon? You don't have the power or the authority or the ability to save anyone. God has to do that. So just love on this person. Just share with them the truth. There's no pressure. And you don't know how God is going to use this conversation a month, 2 months, maybe even 5 years later. So you just trust that you're sharing the word of God. Make sure you're sharing the truth, and God will do the rest. The other thing I hear in that is pointing them to the scriptures, right? Because at the end of the day, what I say, what they say, has no authority. It's only what God's word says. And I just want to share this real quickly. I found that oftentimes, if you just go to the scriptures, somebody may say something to you that says, you know, for an example, I'm looking at right now, Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. And I only say this because somebody actually brought this up. And they said, well, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. So Jesus is not God, because he said that God gave him authority. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, I don't always know how to answer those questions about Jesus' divinity. So instead of answering what I don't know, I'll answer what I do know. And what I found out that when I went to that scripture, and what you'll find this often, that when you actually go to the scripture, the very thing that someone has a problem with, if you just keep reading, the scripture will actually resolve that problem. So let me just give you a quick example. It says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him in verse 17, but some doubted. Okay, well, verse 17 tells me that Jesus was worshiped. Only God is worshiped. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the next thing I see is that Jesus has all authority. So yes, it was given to him, but he has it all. Well, only God has all authority. Then I also see that his name is on par with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So Jesus says that his commands are on par with God's commands. The only way that's possible is if Jesus is God. And then verse 20 says that he's with us always. Well, the only way that that's possible is if Jesus is omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. So my point being is that when you take people to the scriptures, the very thing that they have a quarry with, in this case, that Jesus is not God, well, when I went and looked at that scripture, if I just keep reading, I would actually show that the very scripture they're using to show me that Jesus is not God, actually five times in that same verse proves that he is God. So again, we just simply need to go to the scriptures.
I want to talk about church hurt for a minute. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with Brandon Cagle. He's one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, and actually leads the evangelism department. And I know a lot of times when we're trying to share our faith with people, you meet some people that have had a bad experience with church. And you feel like, oh, how do I help with the healing? How do I share my faith and show that what I'm trying to share is different than the experience they had? And Brandon, it's so interesting because the book of Revelation addresses seven churches that were very diverse and had different situations. And when we're talking to people who have had some serious church hurt, it's good to acknowledge that, hey, your pain and what happened to you, that is legit. And somebody may have manipulated that, or someone may have tried to convince or morph you into something that you don't feel like you are. But let me show you that Jesus isn't cool with that either. And when you read through what Jesus said specifically in his letter to the seven churches at the beginning of Revelation, he addresses all kinds of injustice. You know, like in Pergamum, you know, it was an area where it was easy to normalize like non-Christian and pagan behavior, right? A lot of the church there had been diluted by the values of the culture around it. And Jesus basically says, hey, that's not cool. Jesus says, hey, I need to correct that. We're not supposed to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, right? According to God's word, like Paul says. Or when you look in Ephesus and you're looking at like this big trade city where there's a lot of things going on in this central part of Asia Minor. And it was talking about deeds and work and perseverance. And he was adjusting things because the church there had forsaken their first love. They'd become less devoted to Jesus and his work, and they weren't motivated by their love for one another anymore. A lot of people became a little more legalistic, and they needed to repent of that. And so he addresses that, and he addresses other churches that are just lukewarm, or other churches that have let people come in and distort the gospel because they were trying to be too focused just on loving people and not teaching any actual truth. And he said, yeah, it's great that you love people, but we also need to teach the truth here, and we can't be lukewarm. And I love how Jesus just cuts through the chase on all of these situations.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that my pastor brings up a lot is, which I'm very grateful for because it really puts things into perspective, is that we often say, man, we need to be like the first century church. And as great as there were some great attributes about the first century church, but if you read Paul's letters to the church, you can see that in many ways they were a hot mess, right? And so we kind of have this picture that they got it all right and we've got it all wrong. But the truth is that the church has always been a mess. God loves his church, and we're called to love them too. And so, you know, part of loving people is that we get hurt in the process. Us being hurt, I think, oftentimes shows that we care. And so I think it's important to note that, the body of Christ, we are a people who are being sanctified, right? Jesus said, Father, I pray that you would sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so as we come to grow in the knowledge of God's word, we're being sanctified by that word that we are now attaining, right? The more we know of God, the more we are being conformed to what we know about him, because the Holy Spirit is doing that work in us. But that's to say that we're all in a process. And so sometimes when somebody hurts us in the church, we're so quick to say, well, the church this, the church that. Well, hey, the church is wounded people who are being healed by God, and healing takes time. And so it's only right that when we're around, you know, people that are wounded, that we ourselves are going to get a little bit of blood on us. Excuse the analogy, but it just is what it is. And so we have to know that if God is working on us, he's also working on them. And if we want God to be gracious and patient with us, then we should also desire to be gracious and patient with others, understanding that we're all in this process. Now, that's not an excuse for pastors who are abusing their authority or some of the gross things that are happening around the world in the church, but it is to say that God has called us to be a part of the body. And I believe that if you're truly seeking the Lord, he's going to lead you into a body that is going to benefit you, but you will also be a benefit to them. And so anybody who's been hurt by church and just say, you know what, I can serve God at home. Well, the scripture commands us, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. And so we need to just trust God that we're in a process, the church is in a process, and we're in this together, and we're going to help each other along the way in the process. Isn't that what it's all about?
Well, we're talking to Brandon Cagle. He's one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. And coming up on the 16th, Brandon, you are teaching a class about how to share our faith.
Yeah, really excited about this class. So if you're in Las Vegas, would love to invite you. You can go to cclasvegas.org/connect. But I believe, Scott, it's also on the calendar on the SOS website. But yeah, this is a very interactive class, and our motivation, and not to tell people what they're supposed to say, but rather just put the foundation of the gospel under their feet so they can stand with confidence that in that moment, whatever the Holy Spirit brings to their memory, they can stand confidently knowing that what they're saying is true and that God will use it in this person's life in that moment or sometimes later.
I love it. We're talking to Pastor Brandon Cagle from Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. Thanks for sharing with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.